is Deanna Spingola. It is Saturday, April 13th, 2013, and this is one of my special interviews. We have no commercials, no censorship, no calls, and no music. It is just education and information. It is bare bones broadcasting. My guest today is Diana Hunter. Her website is Neuro. I was just leaving out a couple of letters there. Naturecons.weebly, that's W-E-E-B-L-Y.com. Again, naturecons.weebly.com. All righty. So you're working on some very interesting things that has a very close connection to you and some of your experiences that you have had recently.
Yes, Deanna, and thank you for having me on to share this, because this is a very personal story to me, and because of that, I started doing a lot of research and uncovered a lot of things that I felt the public really must hear about, because it's not happening in the future. It's happening to people now, and it's about the hospitals, palliative care, hospice, and nursing homes, that they are just turning into killing fields. And like I said, it's not in the future. It is now.
Wow.
It started last year when I took a close relative of mine to the hospital. She was elderly, and as unbeknownst to me at the time, a lot of elderly people have problems. They don't want to eat right, and therefore they lose weight and you know, everything that goes with it. However, I didn't know that that was an elderly problem at the time. She also had COPD, but that was not the underlying problem why she went to the hospital. It was
now, what did she have?
COPD.
Okay.
Chronic pulmonary obstructive something. Her doctor had told her that she had had emphysema, and then they turned that into COPD.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I guess I do that in order to get Medicare or whomever is paying the medical cost. I mean, I've known of people who they say, oh, this person has cancer, just so they could collect, the facility could collect more money, when the person didn't have cancer at all.
You're exactly right. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because my best friend passed away 3 years ago, and she was having problems with her stomach. They told her it was cancer, although they could never say where the cancer was. They could never diagnose where they had found it. And they started giving her all the rotten, poisonous chemo and radiation. And I believe in the end, that's what killed her. And I have heard that for every person that undergoes the chemotherapy, it is around, if you have insurance, the whole life of your treatment, it's around $300,000.
Wow.
So it's a very lucrative thing. But yes, they will diagnose you with anything. Of course, they give you a million tests. I mean, to look at my relative, you knew what was wrong with her. And she went into the hospital. She was perfectly coherent. When she was in the ER, she was talking with me, with the ER people. Now, this is what happened. The first thing I noticed, they had the wrong name on her ID bracelet. They didn't bother to change that for 4 days.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, when I finally said, well, you know, I've asked you to give her the dignity of using her correct name, and you won't do it. So guess what? When you try to collect the insurance on this, you're not going to get it with the wrong name, and I won't help you. And miraculously, Deanna, guess what? They got it right.
Well, that's what it's all about. It's about profit and money.
Oh, absolutely. And I never saw it, you know, until you see it up close and personal. It's almost hard to believe that they are this wicked and evil, but they really are.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them at least 4 or 5 times in the course of a week and a half to give me a medication list that she was on. They never would, and that was probably the most important thing that was not done, and you'll see why in just a little bit. I also, and now this was a major hospital in Colorado. I'm not at liberty to say right now, as I told you before, this may be going into litigation, so I don't want to give any names on it. but I can say it's a Colorado hospital. When I had asked for, I didn't like what the doctor was saying, even after a few days. He had a rotten bedside manner, and I asked for a second opinion. They would not help me with that. I also asked them for a doctor that was familiar with geriatrics. They would not help me with that. In fact, they said that it was against their rules to allow my relative to have a second opinion.
Now, when you went into the, you took her to the emergency room?
Yes.
And it was an emergency room doctor that saw her?
Right, and the emergency room doctor looked at her and said, you know, we're going to admit you, we're going to get you better. There was never any talk of any dying or anything else. He said, we're going to get you back on your feet. I have no problems with the ER doctors, none whatsoever.
But see, ER doctors are indoctrinated to do every possible test that the insurance policy will pay for. They are also indoctrinated to get admissions for people who come in because it makes the hospital more money. Because the hospital will always get paid, even if the patient dies, if that patient has insurance. And so they really don't care if the patient dies or lives because they're going to get paid either way. And if a person has insurance, they are going to want to first give them every test they possibly that the insurance pays for, and they will want to admit them because that means more money for the hospital.
And you're exactly right with the test. As far as, see, I could not have, unless I had hired a nurse round the clock at that time, I could not care for her because she had, because of lack of nutrition, she just was, you know, I couldn't do it.
Right.
But having said that, and at this particular hospital, when I had brought my friend in that I was telling you about, the ER doctors seemed vastly different than once you get admitted. And my relative did not have a regular primary care physician. And I believe that's why she lived to the age of 89 with no problem. Because she never even took an aspirin. Well, when she got in there, because she didn't have a primary care physician, they gave her a hospital doctor. Well, I was under the opinion that that was an employee right of the hospital. But I was wrong. I was later to learn these doctors are contracted by the hospital. And there's several groups of them, so they just go around as a freelance contractor to any hospital that signs them up.
Mm-hmm. But they do have to follow hospital procedures and policies, and that is to make the hospital as much money as they possibly can.
Right. And this was a foreign doctor, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. Anyway, she had been in the hospital for a couple of days. The second night I went in there, we were having a conversation, and the nurse came in, and it was my mother, I'll just say it.
Okay. It's hard to be talking about somebody that you love and care for without properly identifying them.
Yes, that just slipped out, but that's okay. It's at any rate, she was talking, and she asked the nurse why she wasn't feeling better, because she expected to be feeling better right away.
Mm-hmm.
And the nurse said, oh, you're going to love this, Deanna. She said, well, you just had lung surgery. You're not going to be feeling better right away.
What?
I came flying out of that chair. My mother's eyes got the size of dinner plates. And she said, I haven't had surgery. And I looked at the woman. I said, where did you get that? And she said, it's on the chart. I said, you've got the wrong chart.
Wow.
Well, of course, the nurse made light of it, and mm-hmm. I should have gotten her name, but I can't track her down for that. Right then, I knew I was in big problems with this hospital. But
now, did they have her on an IV feed?
Yes. They were, okay. At that time, they were giving her hydration and a drip for nutrition.
Okay.
Now, after the second day, that was the last time I was able to talk with her when she was coherent.
Right.
Never again was with her and have her carry on a conversation. unbeknownst to me, and let me say this, she was sleeping all the time after that. Because of her COPD, they were giving her breathing treatments, and it was really working, Deanna. I know that from the nurses that I talked to, not from the doctors, because the tests were coming out much better for her breathing. So I guess what I'm trying to say is she was not, in my thinking, she was not terminal at this time.
Wow.
Well, they were giving her the antipsychotic drug Seroquel.
Oh, my word. Why?
It is used. One of the nasty side effects of Seroquel is that it makes you gain a lot of weight, among other things.
But why were they giving it to her?
Because she was so underweight. But they were giving it to her as called an off-label use. But I wasn't aware of this because they would not give me the medication list. And they had to have been giving it to her in a very high dosage, because I remember this doctor telling me that he was giving her enough of this appetite to increase her appetite. He said if you and I were on it, we would be gaining weight like
crazy.
Well,
why would they give her something to increase her appetite if she was taking all of her nutrition through a drip?
You know something? That is a very good point that I have not thought of, and I'm really glad you brought it up. Deanna, I was so upset at the time, and I was handling this on my own. I couldn't even think straight.
That is what the hospital employees want the patient family to do, is to not be able to register what is going on, and they want you to be very vulnerable so that whatever they tell you, you're not going to question.
Oh, and you're exactly right, because when they were telling me she was so underweight, like, I didn't know that.
Right.
I hadn't been trying to work with her for years because of that. And frankly, the more I bucked them, I was becoming afraid that they were going to call Adult Protective Services on me. I mean, that doctor came after me. I mean, the look on his face and the voice inflections, I was really scared he was going to call them on me, even though
Why?
I think he was trying to infer that I didn't do anything, even though she was so underweight.
He was trying to put all of the blame on you for her condition so that he could do whatever he wanted to her.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
He was intimidating you. And when we hire a doctor, we're in charge. We don't have to do anything that we don't want to do.
Well, another thing is that after she started getting the nutrition in the drip, the nurses would, because they had to, because of all the different things supposedly it can do to your system, they were giving her this type of test for potassium and things like that every day. And I'm
mm-hmm.
thinking, oh, my Lord. Well, they said that her tests were becoming much better. The nurses were saying that, though the doctor wasn't. And so after about the third or fourth day, they started pushing hospice on me. And I said, absolutely not. You're crazy. I will never sign up for hospice. And the more I fought them on that, the worse they got. Well, they started telling me that after a certain time that she was not thriving. Well, she was so sleepy that she slept through a breath treatment, she certainly couldn't feed herself. Or even when people tried to feed her, it was very hard because if you're sleepy, you don't eat.
Right. And they induced that lethargy in her.
Absolutely. And the only way I knew she was on Seroquel was when I got the discharge papers.
Oh.
And see, they don't count on the fact that people are starting to research. And when I found out about the Seroquel, I was seeing red. I said, absolutely not. She is not going to get Seroquel. Nothing. In fact, she came home, and there were a couple of other minor things. Seroquel is number one. And I said, no, she's going off of that immediately. And I spoke with an RN doctor, or an RN that her insurance had supplied, and she had a fit about it too. She said, you know, your mother being the way she is, and the fact that she never even took an aspirin, that would knock her to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So I took her off of that, and oddly enough, Deanna, the drugstores, I won't say the name of it, but it's a very well-known national store, they kept calling me saying, oh, you must get these prescriptions. I finally had to tell them, if you call me one more time, I'm going to file a complaint with you for harassment.
Good.
And so they were in, you know, they're in on it just as
of course.
Just as much. Seroquel comes with a black box warning. And it carries the standard one required for all antipsychotic drugs. And a very simple version of it is on a prescription for the antipsychotic medication Seroquel. This warning, this medicine is an antipsychotic and may increase the risk of death when used to treat mental problems caused by dementia in elderly patients. Most of the deaths were linked to heart problems or infection. This medicine is not approved to treat mental problems caused by dementia. Now, remember, my mother was getting this for an off-label cause because she was sharp as a tack till they started sedating her. It's called chemical restraint.
This is just so awful.
She
should never have been on that medication. They should have told you what they were putting her on. They're murderers.
And I agree with you. And I mean, this will be with me. I will take this story to my grave because, I mean, I did everything I could. I caused as much problems in that hospital about before I knew the Seroquel, but I didn't feel they were treating her right.
Right.
And they just wouldn't help. As far as Seroquel, here's from something else on the internet. Heart attacks and neuroleptic malignant syndrome are two more grave dangers that Seroquel users face.
Well, they were probably hoping that she would have a heart attack, and because the hospital gets more money with when the patient dies. I don't know why, but they do get more money.
I was not aware of that. I'm just trying to find it here. Oh, there was a report. Now, this is how AstraZeneca, by the way, is a manufacturer of Seroquel.
Okay.
And in the year 2007, in a six-month time period, this was reported by the Health and Human Services Inspector General that antipsychotic drugs were given to home residents over 300,000 times.
Wow.
I mean, can you imagine that? And a lot of those nursing home patients have been, I don't know if they're really properly diagnosed with dementia or not, but they're giving it to them when the black box warning clearly says that it is not to be given to them. And another thing I found on some of the warnings of it, that it said to let the patient, the caregiver, or the families know what the dangers of Seroquel are so they can judge whether the benefits are worth the risks. Well, that's a little difficult to do when you are not aware and they will not tell you that they're giving your relative Seroquel.
Wow.
I mean, I had absolutely no control of it whatsoever, Deanna, even though I was the medical power of attorney. And when I started researching this, Seroquel has been described as a chemical lobotomy.
Mm-hmm.
And the great Eustace Mullins, I found this when I was listening to his last interview on YouTube. And when he went to Jekyll Island the last time, I believe, something kind of strange happened to him and his health. He was in a real bad way. They don't know if it was natural or, you know, induced.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, he was either taken to a hospital or a nursing home. I believe it was in Texas. He was given Seroquel, and he mentioned the name, and of course my ears perked up, and he said it was just like giving somebody a chemical lobotomy.
Right.
When I started researching this, and I think you're going to find this very interesting, have you ever heard of Dr. Walter Freeman?
No.
Okay. I do believe he was probably a Jewish doctor by the name.
Mm-hmm.
I may be wrong, but I think so. And I will send you the links to this. I can only put a say so much because it's pretty nasty. He pioneered the lobotomy movement and supposedly for everyone's own good. And I'm just going to say this as easily as I can. He used an ice pick to do it.
Yikes.
I'm not going to say much more because it's terribly, terribly graphic. And he did that to over 3,500 people. And he died before he could be, before the case came to court. But the reason I bring that up is because, you know, so many people that I'm finding when I'm looking up the problems of the hospitals, the hospices, all of these early deaths, who do they always compare it to?
Oh, yeah, they always compare it to Hitler.
Absolutely.
Okay. Freeman. Walter Freeman.
Well, and I most definitely will send this to you because there was a radio show done on it by the man that it wrote a book by. A psychiatrist, Peter Bregan, wrote a book, I believe, on it. And so if they're going to compare all of this to Hitler, they better be comparing Walter Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always want to say that Hitler and the Germans were the founding people of euthanasia. Well, that's
I don't
not
think
so.
And in fact, they kicked Freud out of the country and burned all of his trashy books.
And they should. I wish they'd have kicked him out of this country.
Yeah. Well, we didn't. I'm afraid that the government and the press and everything else was under the control of the Jews by then, by 1933.
Oh, absolutely. Well, to get back with my story, I brought my mother home, but I didn't realize she could talk a little bit by then, but she still was not able to feed herself. Another thing Seroquel does is give you difficulty swallowing. Well, that's another key thing to eating properly.
Right. I mean, if they were concerned about her appetite, why would they give her something like that? And AstraZeneca is also the makers of tamoxifen, which is a carcinogen that they use for oncological patients.
That's what my friend was on.
Mm-hmm.
So when I brought her home, I had round-the-clock home care for her. And I must say those people were just phenomenal. They did everything but stand on their head to help her. Well, the hospital had sent her home with a urinary tract infection and thrush.
Oh, so she had candida.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, thrush is one of the symptoms of candida. In fact, she was probably on antibiotics, which causes thrush. And you find a lot of people with AIDS have thrush, and it's because of the medication they put them on.
I didn't realize, and I heard your, was it Dr. Daniels the other day talking about that? I think it was Dr. Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that's what it was,
mm-hmm.
Deanna, but I'm glad you cleared that up for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so a few days later, we took her, because she did not have a primary care physician, and I could get nobody to come out here for her. No one would touch it, even though she had some of the best insurance money could buy. I had to take her back to that hospital. God forgive me for that.
Well, you know, you cannot beat yourself up over this. We're all indoctrinated to respond a certain way when we're frightened or when we are alone and have no choices that we can you know, put our finger on. We do what we've been trained to do. And we've all been trained to think that the hospital is a place where you take sick people because there are people there that are going to help them get well. And that is just the opposite of the truth. So don't beat yourself up over this. You did the what most of us would do.
Thank you. And, you know, had I realized that at the time and had I heard, you know, your interview or known about Dr. Daniels, I would have tried, I would have gotten a consultation with her.
Right.
Because the only reason I took her back was because I knew she had some kind of a large problem, and that's the only way I could get her treatment, because I could not get a doctor to come out here under any circumstances.
Right.
So I didn't realize she was going to be admitted again. I had the home worker stay in the ER with her while I went up and spoke with the patient advocate office. I wasn't allowed to speak with, you know, the patient advocate is never there when you need her.
Mm-hmm.
So I started talking with her assistant. I made complaints about it, what was going on, and, oh, she wrote down for a half an hour things and how they were going to help me, and I thought, yeah, sure you are. Well, at the end of it, I said, I want the medical records or the records of the doctor that you assigned to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she, boy, did they circle the wagons on that one, Deanna. She said, oh, well, I can't do that. That's not public record. And I said, oh, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I will find it. And I will be talking to the state attorney general about this.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard from them again. So if you think that a patient advocate is going to help you,
they're there to work for the hospital, not for the patient or the family.
Right. And another thing of what they have done in a lot of hospitals, I'm not sure that it's across the country, but hospitals and hospices, they no longer consider hydration and nutrition just an ordinary primary care.
Wow.
So they can turn it off anytime they want. Well, so I had, and I will say this too. I was able to get a different doctor, one that didn't believe in drugging her up the second time she was there. But these doctors, whom I thought were really, really good, because she couldn't swallow, she was having problems breathing. Well, you know, when you get older, your body doesn't flush out the things like the Seroquel as easily as younger people would do.
Right.
So the doctors tried telling me that she just wasn't going to live anymore.
Wow. Well, the best thing they could have done was give her as many fluids as possible to get that stuff flushed out.
Right, but see, they didn't, you know, they were very careful about how they did anything with concerning the first doctor, and I was really not able to say a whole lot with it. Well, I had told them I did not want hospice. But on the day, now my mother was awake enough to keep saying, I want to go home. And I'd always promised her that she would never be left in a nursing home or anything else when her time came. I still had not given up on her at this time, though. And when it came time for the discharge papers, I was up there, of course, and it was took me 4 hours in total to get her out of there.
Wow.
And the discharge nurse says, oh, well, you have to have hospice. I said, what did you tell me? And she was so nasty, Deanna. I immediately did not dislike this woman. And she's, unbeknownst to me, they called a hospice behind my back that were coming to the hospital to meet my mother and myself.
Wow. So they were going to get as much money out of your mother's insurance as you possibly could.
Exactly. And when I said, you will release her and you will release her now, or I am going to call the DA and the police department for unlawfully holding her against her wishes.
Good.
And I had in the meantime called a medical transport out of, unfortunately it was out of another city. I said, I will give you a bonus if you make it down here in another hour
mm-hmm.
to get her out. By that time, when I mentioned the police and the DA, the discharge nurse decided, I guess, that I meant business, and she called the doctor. The doctor called me right back and said, oh, I guess it was just a mistake.
Right. And it sure was.
Yeah. I said, you release her, and you release her now. Well, I finally got her home, but it took me between 4 and 5 hours. Can you imagine, even though I was medical power of attorney.
Right.
So I get her home. She's here for 2 or 3 days. And by that time, another thing that Seroquel and some of these other drugs do is dehydrate you.
Right, which makes the process of well, it just,
yes.
I don't want to.
And dehydration
is a terrible thing.
Yes, and that's why she had said before she was not in any pain. Well, the more dehydrated she got, the worse it became.
Sure.
So, to make a long story short, or shorter, I should say, towards the last of it, I finally agreed for hospice against everything that I had ever really considered, or I should say palliative care. And at that time, I didn't know much about it. Well, palliative care and hospice, regardless of what lies they tell you, they will not help give hydration. They will not give food. They will not do any of these things.
Hospice is designed to assist the patient to die.
That's right. And there is a doctor, and I can't remember his name. It's M-E-I-L-L-O. I don't know how to pronounce that. Mongillo? I'm not sure. Anyway, he called hospice abortion for the elderly. I put my mother on it in the late afternoon, and by Friday at 10 o'clock, the next day, she was gone.
Oh, my goodness.
It was that quick.
Did they give her any medication after they arrived?
Because I was very sick with a very bad cold and contagious as heck.
Oh.
I was not around her.
Okay, so they probably gave her something.
Oh, they did. Now, I still had the home healthcare people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked, I mean, it all happened so fast, I didn't even have time to look at anything.
Mm-hmm.
I found a medication list with the whole packet of information that they gave. They gave her what's called, and what a lot of people were calling this, terminal sedation, or the death cocktail.
Oh.
They gave her atropine liquid.
Oh.
Every 2 hours as needed.
Oh.
They gave her Roxanol. I didn't know what Roxanol was. What it is morphine. The very thing I didn't want her on.
Right.
And that was every hour, Deanna, as needed.
Oh, my.
They gave her Ativan, all three.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, they call the side effects of Ativan, difficulty breathing or swallowing. On the labels for Roxanol, it says, to make sure you can safely take morphine, tell your doctor if you have any of these other conditions. Asthma, COPD, sleep anemia, or other breathing disorders.
Mm-hmm.
One of the side effects, shallow breathing, slow heart. Atropine, the very same thing. If you have asthma, chronic lung disease, it says you may not be able to take atropine,
mm-hmm.
sorry.
Ativan?
No, it was all three, Ativan, okay. And morphine. And another side effect of it, dehydration. I mean, can anyone with two working brain cells say these three chemicals together would not be a good idea for a person with COPD?
Oh, that's terrible. I'm just reading. I'm reading about it as you're talking about Ativan. And it has strong sedative hypnotic effects. It's for short-term use, appropriate choice for the short-term treatment of insomnia. It's phenobarbital. Something adverse effects. Wow.
So this, and when I started looking into it, and as I said, because it was so quickly after her death, and I had, you know, I was in a state of shock.
Of course you were.
But as soon as I started learning of all of these drugs, I started looking into the whole hospice thing. And I said, without a doubt, I would not trust any hospital, any nursing home, or any hospice or palliative care. I don't care who they are now. I would trust none of
them. Right.
You know, Obama, and I guess I really shouldn't say it's Obamacare, because we know who's really behind this. And
sure.
Number one, well, we'll do it from the top. Rothschild's minion, the Hungarian Jew, George Soros, started the turning of all of this. And what is his name? Ezekiel Emanuel, that wrote Obamacare. So when people really, Obamacare, it's not really, that's the wrong name for it.
Right. I mean, it started with Flexner, the Flexner Report in 1909, and they've been controlling it ever since then.
Now, I'm not familiar with that one.
The Flexners, was it Abraham or was it the other one? He went around and he went to all of the medical colleges, and what the he was paid by Rockefeller and by Carnegie, because they wanted to take a hold of the medical industry in this country and turn it away from natural healing and use chemical things. Basically burn, poison, or cut. And that was because it's highly profitable. They can put a patent on everything. They can criminalize all the natural healing kinds of things. And then just to control medication. And it was Simon Flexner. And he went around and he did this this study at all the teaching hospital. No, Bernard. Let's see. It's Bernard? There was Abraham and Bernard. And they were brothers. And anyway, they just started the AMA back in 1899, I believe, or no, 18. And they took over the industry. And it's all about profit. It is not about healing the patient. It's about making as much money as you possibly can. And it was Abraham Flexner. He went to 155 medical schools in America and Canada, and he planned to evaluate the entrance requirements, locations of the staff, the financial endowments, the quality and suitability of the laboratories, the relationship between the medical schools and the hospitals. And he concluded that they need to totally reformat medical education so that it would coincide with the objectives of the elite. In other words, Rockefellers and the Jews that were behind
Isn't
Rockefeller.
Isn't that just absolutely amazing? I wish people would, they shouldn't refer to it as Obamacare. They should refer to it as Jew care, because that's truly how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
After I started doing some research on this, I came across some very good websites who talk about it. One is lifetree.org. Dr. Elizabeth Wickham has done some really great work on this. And they talk about, I've got a link up on that on my page from the dark side. You can find it on my link, on my site, or you can just go to lifetree.org and start looking at what has happened to it and how they have turned it around. The main thing that I saw in this, so as good as work, is all of this. And if you're not looking for it, you're not going to see it. But all of these people that were heads of this, like, for instance, Perry Fine, M.D., founding member of the American Academy of Hospice. I'm just finding so many Jewish names coming up as the heads of all of these.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them probably, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to figure out what is a Jewish name and what isn't, because they've changed it so much. But
mm-hmm.
most definitely, they're intermixed in here to the highest levels of it. And So that, you know, instead of looking, as I said, at the Obamacare, we need to be looking at who is pushing this. And I know you know that, Deanna. They have a great timeline on here. Just some wonderful information about how Soros really started funding all of the turning of it in around the 1990s. Even to the point, I think it was in 1997, where they started changing the textbooks for the medical, so that, you know, it was pro, well, let's just call this euthanasia. And I wish that, in fact, when I've got the time, I'm going to be putting together something more on this, so I can show how it's Jewish funded and Jewish created. Robert Wood Johnson Foundation was a big, you know, they really helped implement this. And when I started looking at some of the names on there, absolutely they're Jewish. One person, a Jaron Ducker, and I just found this under, actually she was board of directors of what used to be the Hemlock Society, but now it's turned into, I have so many on here, I can't.
Well, euthanasia goes along with the depopulation program that Kissinger created back in 1974. And so from 1974 forward, you have a lot of different entities working toward depopulation programs, whether you're talking about Planned Parenthood, which of course came out in 1920s and 30s. But you're looking at all those kinds of things. You're looking at the advocacy for sex marriages, which of course limits children unless you do it some other way. But just look at all the stuff they put in the food. I mean, there's so many. We're being attacked from so many different sides that it's hard to.
Well, this one person,
keep it all straight.
Jaron Ducker, and I just found this off the website of the directors and things on here. It says she's been board president for Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains and the Denver Public Library Commission and the ACLU of Colorado's treasurer. She is currently vice president of the Denver Convention Center, and she received the Margaret Sanger Award for exemplary leadership for furthering reproductive rights. Does that make you comfortable? I mean, that wouldn't make me too comfortable to think she's got my best interests at heart. So
exactly.
It's, I would really hope that a lot of people, I've got a lot of links up about the horror stories of hospice, because they are, I mean, they're very, it is just amazing. So many people are writing in to the websites, different websites, and this it's the same thing. Even when people are not terminal, I mean, these hospices are getting sued up the wazoo, and it is around a $14.5 billion industry now. I mean, do we think that there would be fraud there?
Right.
Some of the whistleblowers are reporting that.
Of course.
Their job was to convince the relatives that their family member was terminal, because Medicare pays for all of it, and they have to be signed by two different doctors that whomever it is has less than 6 months to live. I mean, they are just making a killing off of this.
Sure.
On the wrong choice. That was a bad term. I really think I would recommend this to anyone, not to anyone, because they will make you think they are your friends. I thought I had enough of it covered, and I really thought at that point in time that there was nothing else left for me to do, but I was under the opinion that they were going to help make her comfortable, not kill her with an overdose of morphine and their nice little cocktail.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm very glad that you have allowed me this opportunity to get this out, because this is going on across the country. And I mean, it's, and the, you know what, one of the foreign doctors told me in the hospital, Deanna, he looked at me when he was trying to tell me, oh, well, you know, she is wearing out, we can't do anything about it. And he was trying to, this was a different doctor. I thought he was quite nice until I figured out what he was saying. And he said, you know, we have a whole different thought about dying in my country. And I said, well, wow. I really don't care. You're an American now, and I don't really care what your thoughts are. But when I really stopped to think what he was saying, you know, that is just unbelievable.
Well, they are trained to work with the patient's family to make the patient, the family member, make the decisions that are in the best interest, profitability-wise, of the hospital. And I don't know how it works, but, well, if the patient dies, they still get paid. And that's because they have insurance. Now, if a hospital is waiting for a patient to pay them, well, of course, they're going to keep them alive so they can get paid. But as long as there's a third party paying, whether it's insurance or whether it's the government, then it's in their best interest to. And as I said, I think they get more for when the patient dies than if they save the patient.
And I don't know why that works, but I believe that's what doctors have seen coming up many times is that, you know, now morphine is absolutely, we know it's a controlled substance.
It's a horrible thing. It causes you to hallucinate. It's a terrible drug.
Brings it into the house. And, you know, they're not here 24 hours a day. So they do more than that.
They put it on an automatic
feed. They allow the family members or the caregivers to give it. Now, that in and of itself should be highly illegal. What if you have a family member? We should hope this would never happen, but we know it does. Well, what if there's a family member that just says, let's end this soon? How easy would that be?
Sure.
You know, I mean, that is like handing out morphine on the city, the street corner, as far as I'm concerned, or people that are not certified. Mm-hmm. I've always believed that with that kind of drug, controlled drug, it was to be administered by a doctor or a nurse. That's why they're a prescription. But that's not how they're doing it. I mean, there are just horror stories of what's happening here. And the fraud is unbelievable.
Oh, what a terrible, terrible thing. I've had friends who have had terminal cancer who have been under hospice care. And it's very sad. The experience that you've had is very sad. And as you said, you're never going to get over.
And the thing that scares me is that even people that are not terminal, I've read reports where maybe people in their 60s or 70s have gone in for maybe surgery or had a knee problem. It's something as simple as that. And then all of a sudden they're diagnosed with something and, oh, right away it's hospice. I mean, they have so they're not even waiting for them to get to the elderly stage. And I truly believe this is the, you know, this is a depopulation already started, and I think it's well underway. I mean, I wonder how many people across the country they're doing this to on a daily basis.
Right, because a lot you don't hear about this in the news. And these are isolated things that happen to people, that happen to families, and it's not something that they're going to talk a lot about. You know, they're going to go through the mourning process. They're not going to think about what happened. They're not going to understand that something very deliberate happened. It's only somebody that's skeptical and astute and kind of has a background on the other things that have gone on in this country that are going to catch on. Otherwise, they're just going to think, well, gosh, they did the best they could, and wasn't hospice wonderful? They took such good care of my mother and my father or whomever, and they're not going to get it.
They won't even get
at all.
A lot of times, they won't even get hydration. I mean, they didn't set – this is the thing. They would have had – in the hospital, she had breathing treatments. Do you think hospice would have given her that? No. They wouldn't have given her any hydration. But I had, because I had 24-hour round the clock, now I don't know what was here, and I'm going to eventually have to talk with these people to find out what hospice did. And another thing, as soon as the person passes away, they come in here and clean out all of the drugs. They even, yes, ma'am, and they even took
all of the evidence.
When she was discharged the last time, they had given her some antibiotics and some other things that was separate from hospice. To finish taking care of it, I guess. They even took that was not theirs to take. I mean, it is just, Deanna, it is such a nightmare. And I personally hope that no one, these hospices just need to cease to exist, in my opinion. And most of the nursing homes and the palliative care as well, I think, unless they can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt they're not profit. I don't know. Right now, I could say they could never give me enough proof that they were going to actually help.
Right. Anytime you have profit involved,
right, and when you are on,
it's going to be exploited.
When your family member is on hospice, you're not allowed to call 911. You would have to fire hospice first, because that's like, you know. The whole thing of 911 is to prolong life. So,
right.
No.
Well, sometimes that can be a little tricky too. Sometimes I think that's for another topic, another time. But I think there's so much corruption in the medical industry.
Oh, absolutely. And these antipsychotic drugs or psychotropic drugs. Another thing I started looking at is the suicide, or how it can make people give them anxiety. And then we wonder why we have all of these young kids that are on God knows what. I mean, it turns their minds into mush. And no wonder there's so many. It's getting really dangerous. I mean, not only is it dangerous for the patient, it's dangerous for the people around it.
Well, I think that people have to, each person, particularly now that Obamacare is going to be implemented imminently, shortly, that we really have to take responsibility for our own care, not have insurance, because people, if they don't have health insurance, then if they do, and start treating ourselves, learning about the things that are available through naturopathic doctors, through natural methods. And we really do have to educate ourselves and take the responsibility. And it's and we've all been indoctrinated that we need to have a doctor, but But that's just not the case. I mean, a long time ago, 50, 60 years ago, people did not run to the doctor for every little thing that they now run to the doctor for.
Even back in the 1800s, they knew how to take care of themselves in a lot of, for a lot of different medical things. Look at what the Indians knew. And they didn't have all this baloney of, oh, well, you might just be a little bit depressed, so we're going to hop you up on all of this stuff. That is ridiculous. I cannot understand why so many Americans are so willing to pop those pills.
Well, because that authority figure says this will make you feel better, and because of all the media promotion of all these drugs, I mean, I think if a person were to take a survey of in a 24-hour period of how many drug commercials appear within that period, they would be absolutely amazed.
But, one of these days, I'm going to do that just to see how, because it's ridiculous. I was just reading earlier today one article about, it was on a website for nursing home lawsuits, and this one man in a nursing home, he was taking 67 prescriptions. I mean, wouldn't
oh my word!
I can't.
Well, that's when you really need to say, okay, Mister, why are you taking all of these?
Well, I'm sure he was in such a daze he wouldn't have known if the sun was up or not. And I believe his family sued them, and they won,
sure.
I think.
I'm sure.
But, I mean, 67, that should have been enough to close that nursing home down. That's not just negligence. That's criminal. But look at the unbelievable amount of money it's making for if people would just quit. And the way they present these commercials, oh, ask your doctor about this or this or this. Do we really think the doctors are going to say, no, I don't think you should have
it? Right, because they make money off of it too. And they have certain protocols that they have to follow, and those protocols are set up by the insurance companies, the hospitals, and the pharmaceutical industry. And so the doctor goes along with the protocol, and if they don't go along with the protocol and write a certain number of prescriptions, in a timely manner, and do the protocol, send patients to specialists, then they're not going to retain their
license.
Well,
that's right. I mean, that's the sad thing about it. But that's why I was so happy to hear the people, the doctors that you've been having on recently. They are wonderful. What was it, Dr. Jennifer Daniels, I think?
Oh, fabulous.
And Dr. Circus yesterday,
really
I think. I mean, Deanna, that is helping so much. Those people, I can't tell you how glad I am to listen to that on your show, because that is doing such a world of good for people. And we've got to get back to being able to know how to take care of ourselves. You know, with this
absolutely.
This Jew care coming in, I know for one, I'm not going to be, I won't do it. I won't go under that. And they can have a little
bit.
No,
I won't either.
All they want, but I'm not going to be treated like that. Not after what I have seen.
Right.
So, did you want to briefly just go over that other topic that I had talked with you about, or did you want to save that for another time about the school?
We could probably the school system, and let's do a whole program on that. American History,
right.
The Teacher's Guide kind of a thing. I think that deserves a whole program in
and
of
you're probably
itself.
Right. And one thing I did find out about it, because I was speaking with somebody who is a teacher, and anybody can start writing protocols or curriculums for school. And my first thought, Deanna, after I was reading this about these the Jewish curriculum, I thought, well, we need to have Deanna write a one, because you could submit it just like everybody.
Oh, yeah. Oh my! It would be different.
Well, maybe that's,
my book
see,
and
that's
say,
what
here,
you
teach us in
yeah,
your history
break
class.
it down to lesson plans. That was my first thought. So.
Yeah, it's. I think people should homeschool their children. If my children
oh,
were still young,
after
that's
I've been
what I
reading
would be
some of
doing
this
with them.
stuff, like I, you know, emailed you, if I had children in a public school, I'd yank them out of there so fast they wouldn't even be have time to laugh. Well, they'd never be in it. You know, and now, aren't they even trying to make that
Right.
harder now, the homeschooling?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they've always put challenges in the way of people who want to homeschool. But I think there's too many people who want to do this, and it certainly takes them out of that that environment where they're just nothing but indoctrinated. They teach them what to think rather than how to think, and also they say, okay, you have to, well, they imply that you have to be vaccinated before you can attend a public school, and people are not aware of the rights that they have. And then also there are a lot of people who, quite frankly, don't want to attend their, they don't want to handle their kid. They don't want to be around their children that much. They have them and they value their jobs and their big screen
Absolutely.
TV more than they do
there
their
for
children.
3 or 4 hours a day texting. I cannot. I
right.
really cannot figure out what has happened to so much of the public that they want to sit there and do that texting.
Yeah, I don't text. I don't know how
no.
people can waste that much time. And it is a waste of time. And it's,
you know,
also
I hadn't
very
thought about
addictive.
That, but you're probably, yeah, that's a good point. And one other thing I had read, and
yeah.
I need to try and find this article, because I didn't realize that, you know, we know how bad the GMOs and all these additives are in our food. And maybe I'm one of the last ones to realize it. But did you know that a lot of the ingredients that they're adding to the food will do the same things to us physically as all of these drugs?
Right. And they, I mean, they're putting the drugs in the food because, and actually, it's against the law to administer a drug subtly like that in food products because they're doing it again
right,
without
like
consent.
Whose ever stupid brainchild it was to try to get the FDA to approve aspartame in milk. I mean,
right.
Really?
And 17 other products. So it's not just milk, it's any dairy product. Whether you're talking about sour cream, yogurt, you know, any dairy product. Think about cheese. Think about everything that milk is in. It's not just milk. I don't drink milk, but there's cheese and there's other things that I enjoy having. I like sour cream on my mash on my
baked
potato.
See,
I like butter.
I did not know that. I'm glad you brought that up because I thought it was just milk. I love cheese. I mean, I can be a little rat around cheese. It's so good.
Right. So yeah, that's something
I
that we need to think
about. I guess the only way around that is to get, if you can find local farmers. I mean, that's going to kill people off so fast. They may meet their 95% in just a few years with that in effect. Have you heard?
Right.
Are they very close to
right.
getting that through? Or have you?
That I don't know. And it, you know, it doesn't seem to matter what the public wants. I mean, you can write all of these letters to Congress, and you can vote a certain way, like they did out in California about having the foods labeled, and the people in charge of the counting the votes will shift votes into the other category, and they will get money from Monsanto. Monsanto paid off the people in California the. You know, the people that were in charge of each county to make the vote go
particular
way.
Well, it's just like here, too, with what Colorado is going through with the gun laws. I mean, this is absolutely outrageous.
Sure.
And I have to say, though, that the Colorado sheriffs, have been absolutely wonderful about it. They put out a white paper on their position, and they are supporting us 100%. I don't know if you heard about this. I think it was Terry Makita of the El Paso County Sheriff's Department who was doing an interview, and I heard him talking about it, that after this meeting where supposed to be a legislative meeting in Denver where they didn't allow the public to speak and only one sheriff per bill, and the sheriffs made it clear which side they were on, that the sheriffs, apparently all of the sheriffs in Colorado were threatened for either pay cuts or pay freeze because of their stance.
Right. See, they have that hold over them, and that intimidation factor that they can get the vote to go the way they want because they're in charge of the money. They're in charge of and who wants a pay cut or who wants to risk losing their job if they're not obedient. See, they have a real hold, a real financial hold on so many things.
37 sheriffs in Colorado. They are preparing a lawsuit as we speak against all of these laws. So that is just great.
Good.
It seems like Colorado really is, they're hitting us hard here, very, very hard.
Mm-hmm. Free thinkers.
Yeah, but it
there.
Has turned, well, the people have not turned into a blue, just our legislation has in 2008, and it's...
Right.
I think the same with the guns. It's going to be coming to a forefront here. I mean, they're fighting. We've already lost three large suppliers of accessories, and including the Outdoor Channel over this. So,
wow.
They're just coming at us from every which way.
From all every. But
don't you think that
yes,
it's part
yeah,
of me?
Sure.
And maybe this is wishful. I've noticed so many more people know who's really behind all of this. You can see it on the comments on almost any article on the internet. And because of that, they know that more people are aware
mm-hmm.
of it, so they're going to have to push faster and harder.
Right. They're doubling their speed. Yeah. Well, it's been wonderful talking with you on not so pleasant a subject. I'm really sorry about the situation that occurred, but you did the best that you could, and it was unexpected. I mean, how do you prepare for such an event?
Well, I will say one more thing, and I think it was on Hospice Patients Alliance, I think is the name of it. And they do a lot of talking about living wills. And actually, you really have to look into that because it's not what you think. There's different ways of protecting yourself. And people need to know about this ahead of time because those hospitals don't pay attention to you. They really don't. Yeah, and it doesn't matter
they're just after
how
profit.
Old you are. They're going to do it to you anyway. And I do thank you, Deanna, for letting me share this. And hopefully we got to warn some people about this today. Okay.
I hope so. I'm sure that you have. And thank you so much. And we will talk soon. And
okay, well,
bless
thank
you,
you
for,
and you too,
for doing
Deanna,
what you do.
You know, what you do is just you do an unbelievable amount of good. And as I told you before when we were talking, I consider you the premier person on radio that everyone should be listening to you on. Okay, Deanna, it's been
Thank
nice
you.
Talking with you.
Thank you. I appreciate your support.
Bye.
All righty. Bye-bye. Thank you.